Let's get into the Word of God tonight, what we came for. If you turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter number 3, Daniel chapter number 3. You know, it's cool to be up here and to be able to speak to you guys. You know, I've never done a full service before. I remember back in high school, I'd see Nate come up here and preach, and I was like, wow, that's a big boy. And Zeke would come up here and preach, and I was like, wow, that's a big boy. So today I'm becoming a big boy. Hope you guys are excited. I'm excited. We'll get to Daniel chapter 3 a little bit later. But I do want to talk to you a little bit about our attitudes towards God. And I've been working at Skechers for about 5 years now, on and off. And I have a coworker named Sarah. She's been working there for 2 years. And we've met a lot of different customers, some nice ones and some not so nice ones. But what you guys don't know about Sarah, she has a really quick attitude. She gets upset really quickly. But I remember one day we were working together this past week, and I was talking to her, and then a customer comes in. I was like, okay, Sarah, can you take care of the customer? She's like, sure, yeah, no problem. So her and her husband walk in. She's like, you know, hey, how's it going? And the customer literally just walked right by her. And she looked at me, and I was like, Sarah? You know, she goes back over there. She's like, okay. She goes over there, and she goes up to the customer. She's like, well, is there anything we can help you with? And the lady turns around and looks at her and says, I just got here. I haven't even seen all the shoes. Can you get off my back, please? I was like, whoa. And Sarah looked at me, and I was like, come here. So I came, and we had a little powwow, and I told her, you know, it's okay, relax, you know, I'll help the customer for you. She's like, honestly, Lorenzo, that customer can help themselves. We have shoes that are like all the way at the top. She's like, she can climb up the ladder, fall down, I don't care, I'm not helping her. You know, I don't want anything to do with her. And I was sitting there, and I was like, Sarah, relax. You know, she had this attitude. I get it. I'm not trying to defend the lady. The lady shouldn't have talked to her like that. But I was saying that Sarah's attitude was, hey, I don't want anything to do with you because things didn't go her way. Things didn't go the way she thought it should have went. And I think about that, and I think, man, what is our attitude towards God when things don't go our way? What's your attitude like? And that's something that I had to reevaluate in my life this past semester. God spoke to my heart about this. So I want to know, what is your attitude like towards God when he doesn't do something that you think he should do? Well, I think all of us just need to look at our attitudes tonight and say, what is my attitude like? There's three attitudes that we should have towards God. I mean, let's be honest, though, life is difficult. Life is tough, and God never promised the easy life for us. He never did. But what I want to encourage you with is just to have a good attitude. Even though you get frustrated and sometimes, you know, you don't understand why God is doing something in your life, just to have these three attitudes that I want to give you tonight. The first attitude is really simple. Man, God is good. Man, God is good. I mean, think about all the things God's given us. Think about all that God's given you. The biggest thing, you know, that God's given us was salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. To think that God from heaven, who lived in a perfect place, would come down to the world to be persecuted, despised, and hated, and to come and to die on the cross for us, to me, is crazy. And it's such a big gift that God's given us. He's given us salvation. To think that he would be spit upon. I mean, he came from a perfect place where he was being praised, and now he's here being spat upon and having his beard ripped out and literally being killed and carrying our sin and dying for us. It's amazing what he did for us in salvation, how he provided a way for us to have a relationship with him. And I remember as a 12-year-old boy, just getting in trouble for some stealing that I was doing and hanging out with the wrong crowd, I was thinking, man, like, my grandma was going to church, and she was like, you know, you should come. And I always thought, like, nah, I can't go to church. Like, I can't do that. I mean, I'm not good enough. Let me get some things right. Let me clean myself up, and then I can go to church. And it's funny how many people have that attitude, that they have to clean themselves up before they can go to church. But what I want you guys to realize is, and a lot of you guys know this, is that the church is made for people who need it. And that's everyone. Everybody needs church, and that's why we're here. It's not a museum for all the people that are great. It's for a hospital for the people that are broken. And everybody that's here tonight is because you need to hear God's word. And that's why we're here tonight. And that was made clear to me. So I went to church, and I heard some of the gospel. I didn't get saved immediately, but I remember, like, in a youth activity, we did an overnight thing, and the pastor came up here, and he preached. And God got a hold of my heart. They took me in the back, and they talked to me, and they told me the first thing, Romans 3:23, for all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I was like, man, that's me. You know, I was stealing. I was running with the wrong crowd. And that's everyone, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So we've earned eternal separation from God because of our sin. We earned that. So I was like, man, like, that's crazy. And I was like, this is really bad news. But then the good news came in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God showed it. He demonstrated his love toward us by dying on the cross for us, even though we were sinful men. And it was really simple because Romans 10:13, for whosoever, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter where you've been, shall call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. And that just, when I heard that, I was so excited. I remember you could talk to my grandma about it. I was so excited that day. I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I knew that when I died, I could spend eternity with him. And that's such a, that's a focus that we like to point out a lot. But something that was really shown to me was that we focus a lot on when we get to heaven, we finally get to spend eternity for him. But what about right now? God has saved us from our sin right now. I think a lot of times we forget about that. We're so excited to spend eternity in heaven with God, but what about right now? God wants us to be different. It even says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, God wants you to be different. God wants you to change when you get saved. God wants you to be different. And they used a really good illustration in the Philippines. They said, okay, so if a big semi-truck, as powerful and as strong as it is, were to hit you going full speed, you would not be the same. You would not be the same. And okay, obviously God's not a semi-truck and he's not going to hit us or anything, but think if God is big and as powerful as he is, comes into your life, you're going to be different. You're going to change. You're not going to be the same anymore. And if God's coming in inside of you, God's going to flow out. And that's what I really wanted to stress is that, man, God saved us from our sins now, not only for eternity where we get to spend eternity with him, but God saved us from our sin now. And he's not going to put us in a situation that we're not able to overcome. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but as much as is common to the man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye should be able to bear it. God's given us salvation. He's saved us from our sin. He's given us family, and I'm so glad mine was able to come tonight. He's given us family that support us and try to help us to do what's right. Maybe none of our family is like that, but at the end of the day, let's say you lose your house, you lose your car, you lose all this stuff. At the end of the day, what you're going to have is family. So my dad used to tell me, obviously, we're going to have Jesus as well, but family, and God's given us our family for a reason. God's given us jobs. Think of all the people that maybe you don't have a job, but God has provided for you. But God has given mostly everybody in here a job to provide for our family, to provide for our needs. And my grandma always used to say, it's not that I have to work, it's that I get to work, that God's allowing me to work and has provided a job for me, because God says he will provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory. God has provided so many things. He's also provided grace and mercy. In Lamentations 3:22-23, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not, that they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God gives us so much mercy and so much grace. And just like they talked about what last Sunday, Mr. Shamsian talked about the prodigal son, which is a perfect story of God's grace and God's mercy. There was a young man that took his inheritance and ran away and lived his life, and the Bible says riotous living, and he did whatever he wanted to do. He was partying, he was doing all this stuff. And then, you know, he hits rock bottom and he finally decides, you know, at least my dad will let me be a servant. And he misunderstood his father, which was a great point. And he goes back and his dad doesn't see him, and he's not like, wow, I told you so, don't come back here, go somewhere else. He wasn't anything like that. He opened his arm and embraced him and ran to him and kissed on his neck and showed him compassion. Why? Because he loved him. He showed him grace and he showed him mercy, and that's what God does for us. We understand that you're not perfect, but God's saying, hey, my arms are wide open to you. I know what you've done. Hey, I really don't care. My arms are open for you. Come back to me. And God gives us grace and mercy, and we just don't deserve it. And it's easy to look at all these things, you know, our salvation and God delivering us from sin. But we think, okay, the job, I got myself my job. That's what I did. Or you know, oh, I got the family I made because, you know, this is my family and I made them this way. But we got to look at the big picture and say, this is what God did. God did this in our life. This wasn't us. And I remember Brother Nate at the Men and Boys camp out a couple years ago. Nate was not as nice as he is now. Well, I'll tell you that. Yeah, he was not as nice. And we were hanging out. We were all wrestling around and stuff like that. And then we got to a part in the water, and we were all wrestling, and Nate jumped into the water, but it was like the shallow end, and it wasn't deep. And I mean, he broke his ankle, and I mean, I've never seen anything like it. It was like this. And I was like, that's just not how ankle goes. Like, that's just not right. And I remember he needed a lot of help. So we went down to get to this like little lake area, and we had to go back up. And Nate was a bigger guy at this time. Well, he was strong. He was a really big, strong guy. And we needed like three or four people to help him up the little hill we had there. And I remember, you know, how crazy it'd be for Nathan to come up here and be like, man, I got up that hill all by myself. I didn't even need any help. It was all me. And it'd be like, come on, dude. Like, I was there. There was like three or four people helping you out. Like, how silly would that be? But then we do that with God, and we're like, man, look at the family I built. Look at the job I was able to get when God is literally the one who gave it to you. God is the reason why you have it. God is so good because he's given us all these things. Moving on to our second point. We got to move a little bit quickly here. Man, God is good is our first point. Number two, man, God is good is our second point. Man, God is good. I remember I was in school and I was taking computer information systems, and I was taking this class, Database 2, and I was struggling. I stayed up 24 hours to take the midterm, got a 54 on it. I almost cried, almost quit, I was giving up. But it was time for the final, and I needed a 66 to pass the class, to get a C. I was like, okay, I can do this. I got a 66.5. I prayed and I fasted. I did so many things. I prayed and God brought me through it. And it's amazing what God will do when we ask him to help us in our time of need. God delivers us. There's so many stories in the Bible where we're in trouble in our time of need and God helps us. Maybe David and Goliath, when Goliath is talking all these bad things about God and God delivers them. What about the children of Israel who was in bondage and God did miracle after miracle after miracle and delivered them? What about Jonah when he was literally running from God, then found out he was running from God, and then they threw him overboard, right? And he's overboard, and I mean, he's in the middle of, you know, the sea. He could die easily. But God sent a whale, a great fish, to swallow him so he can go to dry land and go to the land of Nineveh. Like, it's just crazy what God can do. I mean, Lazarus, who was dead, was raised to life. Think of all the healings that Jesus did. Think of Daniel in the lion's den when God delivered him. And now think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that's where we are at right now. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter number 3 and verse number 10. Now we're going to look at it, and I'm going to try to read through it a little bit quickly tonight because our time is escaping from us. Thou, O king, has made a decree. So Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar has a big golden image, and he's telling everybody when the music plays to bow down to it. This is a very familiar story. Thou, O king, has made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a fiery furnace. There was a certain Jew whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men to the king, before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them. He said, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at this time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all these kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is it that God shall deliver you out of my hand? So he's pretty arrogant. He's pretty cocky here. He's like, you know, hey, it's cool. You guys didn't worship the first time. I'll give you a second chance. When the music comes on, bow down. Like, just go ahead and bow down for me. Or if you don't, we'll throw you in the furnace because nobody's going to deliver you from my hand. Like, sorry. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Look, we're going to tell you how it is. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. They're pretty confident in their God, that God would deliver them. And you go on in the story, and they don't bow down to the idol, and they turn up the fiery furnace 7 times higher than it normally is, and they throw them in, and Nebuchadnezzar's feeling good about himself, and he looks into the furnace, and he sees not just 3 people they threw in, but a 4th that looks like the Son of God. So he's confused, and they're perfectly fine. They're not yelling, they're not screaming, anything like that. They come out, they don't even smell like smoke. Their clothes are perfectly fine, and they're fine. Because God delivered them out of their trouble. And there's story after story. And maybe in your life, there's times where you realize that you were here and you prayed to God. And over time, he got you to a different place. And God's just brought us so far from where we used to be. And that's something we should be thankful for. Man, God is good because he delivers us from a hard time. So we had our first 2 points. Man, God was good. Our second point, man, God is good. Anybody want to guess the third point? Man, God is good. I think that's a pretty simple outline for tonight. But this was the one that really hit home for me. What if God doesn't do what we want him to do? Is God still good? What if God doesn't answer all your prayers? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, if God answered all your prayers, who would be God? You would be and not him. But, you know, what if God doesn't do what you want him to do? I mean, God was good in the first two points, right? Like, oh, he provides all the stuff we need. That's great. Oh man, God is delivering us from our time of trouble. But what about if God doesn't? Is God still good? And that's what I want to kind of park on, because that's what spoke to my heart a lot. I mean, when Abel was murdered, was God still good? When David and Bathsheba sinned and David said, oh, just put them on the front lines, was God still good? When Stephen was out there preaching the gospel and was stoned to death, was God still good? The answer to that question is yes. The answer to that question is yes. God is still good. Dr. Atkins, who's a guy on staff at Pensacola Christian College, he told us a story, and he told us about how his aunt had cancer, and she died, and they had the funeral, and the pastor came up and he preached, but he said, of his knowledge, nobody got saved. Didn't seem like anything was different. Didn't seem like anything changed. He didn't understand why God would do something like that. But from that day forward, he had a decision to make. Was he going to totally go against God or say, you know what? God knows what he's doing. God is good. And that's the decision I want us to make tonight. I don't know what's going on in your life. I really don't. But I want you to say, no matter what, through the first point, through the second point, through the third point, that God is good. Look at verse number 17, which we read before. Verse 17, it says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Look, they said, but if not, doesn't matter. Because my true God, my one and true God is good. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter if you're going to kill us. It doesn't matter, because if not, I'm still going to serve the one and true God. I don't know what's going on in your life. You know, the flood in Virginia, you know, I mean, God had the opportunity to make our house not be destroyed. But if not, what's going to be our outcome? God has the ability to raise my uncle from cancer, but if not, is God still good? You know, and there's so many situations that we can think of. Maybe you don't understand why. Maybe your daughter or your son passed away or something like that. But, I mean, he has the ability to bring him through. But if not, what's going to be your answer? What's going to be your answer? God is good. In Psalm 119, verse 68, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Psalm 107, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. Psalms 31:19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, because through it all, God's been good. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's going on in your life, but when God spoke to my heart about this, I wanted to share it with you guys. I was going to speak on something else, but God brought this to my attention, because it's so easy for us for things to happen in our life and say, okay, I'm totally done. I'm not going back to church. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And there was a time in my life where I've been there and I've done that, but God says, you know what? And the people in the Bible say, you know what? I'm good. God is good no matter what happens in our life. God is good when he's providing. God is good when he's delivering. And God is good even if he doesn't. So I really want to encourage you guys with this question, but if not, is God still good? Do you want to be, you want to have a better life? Do you want to have a better attitude? Just look and say, hey man, I don't know what you're going to do, God, but I don't care. I'm putting my life in your hands. You're good no matter what you do. God is good. Let's pray.